Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Hey, thanks for downloading this podcast. If you want to listen live, be sure to download the iHeartRadio app and search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
Stop being stupid, people.
All bets are off.
You all suck.
I'm Morenci Unfiltered.
Scumbags!
Get on the grid, sports grid, Morenci Unfiltered, the podcast. What's up? It's our first podcast of the week. We hope you had a great weekend, or at least as good as you can. Under these difficult circumstances, hopefully you're staying safe right now as this virus continues to wreak havoc on society, on everybody, on the sports world, on the financial world. But the most important thing is your personal health right now. So we hope everybody's safe out there. So we're throwing it down. Jason Gold, we're going to kick it old school with an old producer of ours. Jason Gold will step up and in now from Montreal, but the man who joins us right now, I know, has actually spent some time in Montreal. In fact, I think he spent some time in a hospital in Montreal. I don't know, maybe a jail cell too, but I guess it's probably better, like if it was just a hospital in better times, going to see the Montreal Expos play the New York Mets. But Danny B steps up and in. He's featured on HBO's Real Sports, Fox Sports. I've been on his show before on WABC radio locally here in New York City with our main man, Corey Parsons, kicking ass, doing a podcast right now as well. DBWins.com is Danny's website. Danny B steps up and in. Danny, always a pleasure. Good to catch up with you. How you been?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me. I hope all is well.
Yeah, you know what? We're staying as safe as we can under the circumstances, and I see your Twitter account, you've got pretty much the same shot on your Twitter screen as I see on a daily basis looking out my window. We were neighbors, but you recently moved.
Yeah, we were up there for about 15, 16 months, and we were going to ride it out. I'm glad we left. We left January 3rd, basically just in time. You know, I did the subway, I did the boats, and, you know, everybody's good here. I miss the area, but I'll tell you what. I'm like living on a farm right now. Plenty of room, cows, you know, a whole different atmosphere. But I definitely miss the city, but I love it from afar.
Yeah, so right now it's good timing. And you know what? I knew that this was coming. And I was sort of ahead of it more people. I was like, guys, there's a serious virus that's about to hit here. No, I was in China. I was like, viruses don't know borders. All right, it's going to spread around the world. And I don't care like where you ban or whatever, you can't hide from this thing. It's in the air. And I sort of saw it coming, and I didn't know how bad it would get, Danny. I really didn't. You know what I mean? I knew it would be bad, but I didn't think like complete shutdown. And especially in this area, I believe now the latest number, over 13,000 people have passed in New York because of this. 13,000,
yeah.
Man.
Like, yeah, it's scary. It's scary to say the least, you know?
And I was taking all those same things, Danny, like, every day, dude, I was taking a bus you know, through the Lincoln Tunnel, back and forth. I used to take the ferry all the time. I was hanging out at the Meadowlands with a bunch of old dudes every night, like as this thing was spreading and breaking. Like
That's dangerous. That's like being on a subway 24/7.
It really is. Like I've been in the middle of this thing, bro. But I was talking New York Giant football with somebody the other day, a guy from a Giant Insider, Jerry Foley. And, you know, he goes to every Giant game type of thing. And I was talking about how I used to get really pissed off, Danny, like every Sunday. It was like the biggest part of my week that I hated, bro. I do the show at FanDuel Sportsbook, and I couldn't get out of there after. Like after the Giant game, like my show would end sort of like at 4:35 when the game was ending. And I couldn't get out of there for like 2-3 hours. And I'd bitch, man. I'd be like, I can't effing believe this. And I'm complaining about sitting at a sports book for 2 hours just because there's so much traffic. I couldn't get an Uber to get out of there. But, you know, now, you know, you be careful what you get mad because you might just miss it. And kind of sucks right now with no sports, doesn't it?
Well, I'll tell you what, I've been on radio since 1994. It's definitely a first for me. We had some strikes along the way, NFL, the baseball, you know, back in 94, no World Series that year. So I've seen some things, but nothing like this. And you know what? When I moved here, I knew that they had sports betting in Pennsylvania. Plus, I lived in Allentown for 13 years before I moved up to Jersey. I know they had it out in Mount Airy, you know, but recently, like literally a few days before the shutdown, they just opened up a sports book, which is 20 minutes to the left of me. I have both of them to the right. It's no traffic. It's an off-track betting. It used to be just the ponies, you know, and yeah. They converted it into sports betting. I think one of the Indian reservations on it. I forgot what, not Foxwoods. But anyway, so I was really excited. You know, I was going to do my show from there. And then obviously this stuff hit and put a halt to everything, but I'm optimistic something's going to happen soon, Gabe. You know, maybe not next month, maybe not. But we will see sports sometime, I would hope, no later than late June, early July.
Yeah, that blows. That's quite the timing, isn't it? And it was the same thing in Michigan with I think they literally took their first sports bet on March 11th, bro. Like day.
No doubt about it.
That was the day the NBA stopped. Like they fast, yeah, so, and they fast-tracked it too. So Michigan legalized it. They were like, boom. A lot of states sort of capitulate after. Yeah, we'll legalize it, but it's going to take a while. And now Michigan was like, boom. They legalized it, and
I know.
They weren't stupid. They wanted to get going for March Madness. So they did. They opened up like literally that Wednesday, Danny. You imagine that Wednesday. They took a couple of bets from the governor and whoever. They did their token bets. They took a couple of college basketball bets. And then, boom, hours later, they're like, all right, everybody got to leave. They literally kicked everyone out. They were like, you got to leave the property, man. Like, because they shut things down fast in Michigan. So they were like, all right, everybody out. Like, day one. Can you imagine? Like, what a screw job.
Well, funny you said that. My buddy Tom, a childhood friend, he does a show in Detroit. It's called The Wrap with Maz. It's local stuff, but I was on that show that Monday, and they were really excited about it. We were talking about March Madness, some Cinderella teams perhaps, and even Colorado just passed it, or another state passed it recently as well. But, yeah, very unfortunate. I'm out of work because of this, just like most people. This is what I do, and I'm on hold. I'm not betting none of that virtual stuff. I'm not betting any cards or anything like that. I'm just holding my ground. You know, even the draft, I'm not really that into it this year for some reason. The day that I hear sports begins 30 days from now is when I'll get excited again. You know, that's when, because everything we thought prior to this is all out the window, you know. We don't know where they're going to start, when they're going to start. But I'm hoping to see something here maybe before the 4th of July.
Yeah, like you said, there's a light at the end of the tunnel. There's going to be problems for the next couple of years. Let's just be real. Anybody that's being a realist knows, right? Until there's millions of tests, like tens of millions, until everyone gets tested, until basically, and I've been seeing for people, if you want to get technical, can really open up society, basically, sort of back to not even normal, but sort of open up when you get one new case per a million people in a city.
Yeah.
And to put it in context, there's over 19 million people in the state of New York, and they're getting over 5,000 cases a day still. They've got to get that down to like literally 19 cases a day. 20 cases a day.
They made the mistake. If they were going to close the subway, they should have done that already. You don't do that now. The damage is already done. One of the first things I said when they banned sports, I said, well, then if they're going to, because I was pissed, obviously. I was like, if they're going to do that, then they need to shut down the airlines. They need to shut down the subway, the buses, because that's where that stuff breeds. I know firsthand, every trip I took, bumper to bumper with people, people breathing on you, the filth in there. Never mind the homeless people, but everything else in between. So it is bad, you know, it is bad. But I'm all for, you know, New York, obviously, you don't open up that place. But if it's safe and you got low casualties and people got to work, man, you know, not just us, but people everywhere. I can tell you endless stories, people losing their jobs from the hairdresser to the guy just opening up a bar. You know, and, you know, we talked about Montreal, and no, I wasn't in jail in Montreal, but I definitely spent time in a Brassard prison.
That's Montreal. That's right outside. That's like saying I've never been in jail in New York. I've been in jail in Long Island.
Well, it was about 9 years later. I did this thing from 84 to 86. The Mets played the Expos. I take the trip up there, usually catch 2 to 3 games out of the set. Well, the Mets were ready to clinch in 86. It was like late August. I was there for a 3-game set. Friday, the Expos beat them up. Same seats for the whole weekend. So we get to the, you know, the subways there that run up into Olympic Stadium. But I was drinking early. It was one of those 5 o'clock starts on a Saturday. So, you know, I got there. I was just with my girl. And we had our Met gear on. Good tickets right behind the first base dugout. You know, and the Expos are killing the Mets again. And these guys, you know, we're all drunk. They're busting my balls. I'm giving it back in a fun way because the Mets were obviously going to win, just a matter of when. So I'm getting a little salty now. And one of them makes a gesture to my girl, sticks out his tongue and gives him one of those, you know, gestures. So I'm pissed. I'm drunk. So I go up. I take a couple of swings. Next thing I know, the whole row's got me. Beat me down. Probably 5 or 6 of them. But here's the funny part. My girl's beating them off of me with a New York Mets bag, one of those tote bags. No, here, the bag snaps and it lands on the field. I see video. Bill Robinson, the first base coach, picked the bag up, gave it to the usher. Well, they escorted everybody out, but I realized, oh shit, they fucked up my shoulder. So I spent the night in a hospital in Montreal, and because I'm an American citizen, they couldn't treat me. I had to wait for a specialist. So they gave me so much drugs all night long to keep me happy. And I started hallucinating. Really, they kept me up. I don't know what they gave me, but I miss it. But anyway, turns out the Mets came back to win that game. They were down like 7-0 in the 7th inning or something like that. But the next day, they made me leave. And that's the last time I went to Montreal. But in 1996, I was up there. I was working with an offshore casino. One of their satellite offices busted down a hurricane went through one of the islands. So they had a little makeshift place up in Brassard. So I spent about 6 months up there from like February of 96 or something like that. I left like October of 96. Nice city. Definitely a lot of good times. But I had a DUI. That's why I spent the night in the police station there. But you know, I used a fake ID. I had a gym pass. I had my buddy. So I made bail, and that was it. I left Montreal, never came back.
You know, it's funny. That's it. Like, people don't realize that the pre 9/11 days, right? In like the 90s, like ID was real shaky and stuff at the time.
Oh my God. I had a gym ID, a picture ID from the gym. And it wasn't even, I used a middle name or something, like Danny Thomas or something.
Dude,
like
I traveled through the airport once with, all I had was like an Expos press pass. Like, that was my picture ID. I had a birth certificate that was like, all right, here's my name. And they're like, yeah, picture ID. I'm like, yeah, here you go. They're like, all right, fine. Have a nice flight, sir. You know what I mean? Like, that was, I had like an Expo laminate. Like, that was my, I traveled with that. Like, now they'd be like, what the hell is this? You can't get out of
it. I know. You know, I tell you, I'm 57. I'll be 58 soon. So back in the 80s, it was definitely lenient. You know, we go out on a Friday night with good intentions. We get a little too much in us, a little extracurricular activities. Next thing we know, we're at Newark Airport. Just where do you want to go? And you know what? We can go to the islands. You know, we go down. No, all you needed was a driver's license. We carry some, you know, extracurricular activities on us. Party all night long like it was nothing. you know. But yeah, things have definitely changed, man. I miss the old days, but we ain't gonna get them back. We just have to make the most of what we're dealing with, you know. But the good thing is sports betting is here. It's on hold for now. I miss it. You know, I really enjoy baseball season. So I'm more upset about that than anything because that's my thing. I love baseball. But I'm hoping, you know, like I said, I want to be optimistic. I hope politics, you know, needs to just put aside their indifferences. Let's work together. Let's find out how we can move forward strategically, you know, without putting people at risk. There's always risk. We know that. But you know what? We just got to move forward smartly, and you know, but we have to move forward soon.
Danny B kicking it with us on Morency Unfiltered, the podcast. I am Morency. So you talked about baseball. A lot of the New York area sports teams aren't very good. You know, the Knicks are rebuilding. The Brooklyn Nets are okay. You know, they're okay. It'll be interesting to see if Durant comes back, if they actually do play in the playoffs, if there is a playoffs down the road in a couple of months. You know, the Rangers, the Islanders. Islanders are okay. The Rangers weren't bad, but they were sort of starting to fade from the playoffs, et cetera. But, you know, there is hope when it comes to baseball, although the Yankees seem to be plagued all the time with injuries. But I was excited about this New York Met team. I was excited about them last year, Danny. I jumped on the wagon. And, you know, the Mets, there was a turning point, and it was when Pete Alonso went on Twitter. And he said it was right after the Stroman trade. And he said, I'm tired of all the negativity. I come online. I'm tired of all the negativity all the time. He goes, we've turned the corner. Trust me. I'm in this room every day. He goes, we're working as hard as we can, and we've turned the corner. We're going to get this thing done. And he did the let's effing go Mets. And I bought in. And I noticed, too, following the team closely, I liked Marcus Stroman. It was a weird deal at the time. People thought the Mets were going to be sellers. They ended up bringing in Stroman. And people were like, what the hell is Van Wagenen doing? The ball, ha-ha, the Mets don't know what they're doing. And then they got scorching hot. And, Danny, I was betting on them, like, on a daily basis, man. The Mets were really good to me last year down the stretch.
Well, you know what? I've been a Mets fan since 1967. And speaking of 67, that's the first – on this day, Tom Seaver gets his first win, 1967, April 20th of 67. I just grew up loving the Mets. You know what? I had them I bet him a lot last year. I took the good with the bad. I do a lot of totals in baseball. You know, I would say 60%, 65% of my baseball wagers are totals. I don't lay big wood. I'm not laying 180, 150. Yeah. 140 is my max, Gabe. At home, I'm risking 140. Maybe I'll go to 145. But I like to keep my numbers 130 on the road, 140 at home. When I'm doing the run line, I don't like to lay runs and money. I like to get a little something back, minus 1.5, plus 120.
Plus you can't go wrong getting plus money. I don't have a problem. I don't have a problem with that. And especially baseball betting, you know, in the long haul, you'll go broke laying too much juice. There's upsets all the time in baseball. There is. I know it sounds cliche, guys, but the worst team in the league is going to win 55, 60 times out of 162 times.
Absolutely.
And they're the worst team in the league, right? And the best team in the league is still going to lose 60 games. And those 60 games with juice, man, that can bury your ass.
Well, yeah, I use that analogy a lot. I mean, the Yankees, they win 100, they lose 62. If you bet them every game, every day, the same amount, those 62 losses at minus 220, minus 180, depending on, you know, what you're laying. Did you really make money? No, you probably lost money with the Yankees winning 100 games. So I've been a firm believer in looking for value. You know, a lot of totals. I go against the sweep a lot, a home team at home. They lost the first two.
Yeah.
You know, I'm big on that. But right now I'm just hoping that we can get something going here. The draft, you know, you got some good quarterbacks coming out of this thing. You know, LSU has, five top prospects? Bama has five top prospects. What's your thoughts on it? Let me ask you that. Do you like this virtual stuff?
Yeah, you know, I don't have a problem with it, actually, and I'm ready – my problem is I was all ready to really go big on the draft. And when I say go big, I was going to put a couple of dimes and 200 a prop, 100 a prop here and have like 10 of them or whatnot. But I've almost overanalyzed it, Danny, and I'm starting to get cold feet now because I know how tricky it is. But we'll take a quick break. We'll continue the conversation with Danny B. Get on the grid, Morency Unfiltered.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn. And most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn-up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Morenci Unfiltered, the podcast continues. Sports Grid, of course, on Spotify, Apple, iTunes, wherever you listen to your podcasts. We appreciate you guys joining us. We had some great guests last week. We made an effort to reach out to as many people as possible, check in to see how they're doing during these tough times right now. We're kicking it with Danny B., longtime talk show host in the New York City area, now living in Pennsylvania, waiting for the storm to die down. Hopefully we get some sports back. So, yeah, you mentioned the draft. One thing about this draft, Danny, and you've been around a long time. I've been around a long time, and it really is one of the deepest drafts ever. And I'm not one of these people that, like, makes everything the best ever, right? You know what I mean? Like, you know, younger people will throw that stuff, but it really is. Like, when you look at the wide receivers, there's literally, you know, 14, 16 legitimate NFL-caliber wide receivers. You look at the running backs. You can get a good running back in the third, fourth round this year, no problem. Quarterbacks, that's the one where it's a little light, actually. But, you know, fundamentally, you know, whatever, you're building football teams from the out from the trenches out, and there's some really good defensive linemen. There's some really good offensive linemen. There's some good defensive backs. There's some really good linebackers. Really deep talent to draft, and it makes it difficult, Danny, because, you know, you can do all your research, and I bet college football as much as anybody, so I know who all these kids are, man. But it's like I said about Mel Kiper. Mel Kiper can tell you anything you need to know about Isaiah Simmons, or he'll tell you anything you know about Jedrick Wills. But he doesn't know what an NFL team's going to do. And there's so many good players, Danny, that it's really tricky this year. Normally, it's not obvious, but it's kind of like, wow, this guy's right. So much better, and everybody wants him, and everybody, like, this year, it's like, whatever. We could take any one of the four linemen, and we'll be happy. We could take any one of these three or four wide receivers, and we're good. So it's tricky to actually bet on, but a couple of bets that I'm looking at, I'm focusing in on one of the quarterbacks, and Jalen Hurts out of Oklahoma, of course, played at Alabama before. His prop is 62.5 at the Bet365s and the FanDuels of the world, the legal books in New Jersey, and at 62.5, I don't think he's going to be drafted that high. And I like the kid. I think he's a good football player. But he's not a top first or second round pick, Danny. And as you talked about earlier, I'm in the same way as I get older. I prefer to take money than to lay the juice. So you look at Jalen Hurts, this prop over under, it's +125. All right, so I play a couple of plus money props. I'm not going to get in trouble laying juice. I mean, I speak to people, ooh, I laid the -400 for this guy to be drafted then, or -1200 for this guy to be drafted there. I'm not doing that to make 100, but I'm not risking big money to do that. I'd rather risk 100 to get 225, 250 back. I'm in the same boat as you, Danny. But Jalen Hurts, a good athlete, yet he's kind of raw. And, you know, Mel Kiper's hyping him up right now to be taken 49th by the Pittsburgh Steelers. And it's the one thing, advice to Danny, for people tuning in right now for draft betting. When you're betting on sports, you're not betting against, not like the old school days, like Danny, like, you know what I mean? Like, it's not a guy named Fat Tony with a cigar anymore. You're betting against the computer. You know what I mean? It's not, there's no odds maker anymore. There's no such thing as an odds maker. An odds maker is some geeky dude that went to MIT. That's really a scientist, but he's making big money spitting sports data into a computer. And it's not like a magic program that you just hit, you know, tell me what happens. You need to spit the data into it. But it's all computerized right now, right? So you're betting, and people, oh, how is the number so sharp? Because it's computers, man. The algorithm knows what the hell's going on. But when it comes to draft betting, there's not really an advantage, Danny. People are sort of focusing on what ESPN says and what the mock drafts say. Like, you know, if Adam Schefter says something or Kuiper says something about a player, you'll see a lot of movement after about it.
Sure. Well, yeah, of course. I mean, it's all public. You know, they're lost in this at this point. It's a whole different draft this year. No tapes. You know how they had to showcase themselves. They didn't have that ability this year. Didn't Tua get into trouble for throwing out some tape of himself?
Yeah, Tua did. Well, he had his pro day, which at the time I think was fine. There wasn't a problem. You can't have the players were told or the teams were told, don't try to meet with the players. And I think the Dolphins tried to meet with Tua, and they can't meet. They can only meet via virtual, like Skype or FaceTime, you know, whatever. They can only do video calls with each other. Well, we're going to find out now, Danny, which teams are actually prepared, right? Which teams have the best scouting departments?
Well, how do you feel about him? I'm a little suspect about him. Injuries, will they hamper him? I know he got hurt his last, what?
I think he's worth the gamble. I think he's worth the gamble. He's that good. I'm going to go out on a limb. I'll put my name on it. I think he'll end up being better than Joe Burrow in the NFL. I think that Tua is going to be the man, and they're going to look back and go, oh, man, like people that passed on him. But I don't think a lot of people will pass on him. I don't think he's going to fall that much. His prop is 3.5 over under, but it's shaded to the over right now. So you get plus money if you think he's going to go in the top three. I got to believe, Danny, and it only takes one GM. I got to believe there's one GM out there that's not going to wait, and they're going to jump up and draft him. You know, Nick Saban compared him to two guys who coached him. Nick Saban's usually pretty honest, like around draft time. And I always look to what Saban talks about people. Like, I remember a couple of years ago when Deshaun Watson went 11th or whatever the hell it was. And Nick Saban said, people are crazy. They said, this guy's the best quarterback that I ever coached against in college. He beat us. He was talking about how, like, this guy's the man. And he was like, these NFL guys, they don't really know who the best players are. He was like, Deshaun Watson's a star, trust me. And we see Deshaun Watson's a stud. He compares Tua to Drew Brees and to Aaron Rodgers. He said that he's like a combination of Drew Brees and Aaron Rodgers. Like, he's incredibly accurate. He's disciplined. He's smart. Like, he's football smart. He studies the playbook. He can anticipate. He throws. Like, that's the thing with Tua, dude. Like, he doesn't just throw to an open guy. He can anticipate and throw it to a space. The only problem is, Danny, is he fragile, right? He's a younger kid, and he got hurt twice. 2 years in a row, the kid got hurt in college. So people are like, ooh, you know, is he going to get hurt in the NFL now?
Well, we'll see what happens. Again, you know, look at Murray. He did well his first year, right? Watson, he's performed well. Mayfield, what's your thoughts on him? I mean, we've seen these kids, they're different types of quarterback, too, you know.
He needs a line. They need a line, Baker Mayfield. I'm not Baker's biggest fan, but at the same point in time, the kid's running for his life all the time. He's never really had any time to just drop back and pass.
Yeah, no protection as of yet. Maybe they'll pick up somebody to protect them this year. But the Browns, I think they'll have a decent season. You know, I think they'll have a play 500 ball or better. But getting back to, we'll see what happens. I'm a fan of Tua, you know. I'm definitely a fan. He's athletic. He's smart. Like you said, he anticipates. And I like the kid that he was throwing to, Judy. I think this kid's going to be very good. Jerry Judy, is that how they pronounce him?
Judy's a stud out of Alabama as well. He'll probably be the first. I thought maybe CeeDee Lamb out of Oklahoma would be the first wide receiver taken, but I'm starting to buy in now that it is going to be Jerry Judy. That's what I'm saying, Danny. It's a really, really deep class. And, you know, the New York Giants, we're talking about young quarterbacks. Daniel Jones. I like Daniel Jones. I think Danny Jones is really good. I think he's got a great arm. I think he's smart. I think he's got all the intangibles and the tools. He's got to stop fumbling so much. That was a problem. Fumbles were a problem for the kid, but the Giants need an offensive lineman. There's a lot of talk what Gettleman's going to do now. He's looking to trade down maybe, but the two New York teams are interesting. They both have pretty high picks here. The Giants at 4 and the Jets at 11. And I think if Jerry Judy's there,
at 11, Danny, I think the Jets take him. I don't see how he gets past.
I like
the Jets
to see them. You know, I'm not a Giant fan. I'm not a Jet fan. I'm a Cowboy fan, and I believe we talked about this in the past. But I like.
Man, there's
to
a
see
ton
that.
Of you guys. That's why you and Corey. There's a ton of you, like.
Yeah, and me and Corey share the same birthday too. Only I got him by 12 years or so. He's so
really right same day even, huh?
October 11th. Yeah.
That's crazy. But there's so many people here, and there's so many people in New York City who are Cowboy fans, Yankee fans, and Notre Dame fans. It's like a trifecta. Or they're Cowboy fans and Yankee fans. You're mixing it up a little bit. Cowboys and Mets.
Cowboys, Mets, you know. But I do root for the Yankees. I don't hate the Yankees. I root them in. I root for those New York teams, though. But I grew up as a Cowboy fan, and right outside the stadium there, North Bergen, very close by. Took my lumps as a kid, but the Cowboys were good then. The Giants were horrible in the 70s. But I jumped on the Cowboys bandwagon when they lost to Baltimore in the Super Bowl. And instantly I became a fan. Next year they beat Miami. You know, Roger Staubach, Tony Dorsett, and, you know, I had to wait till Troy Aikman and the triplets came around. But now I'm suffering. Now it's been a long time, 96. But I just love sports in general, but give me an option. Give me a choice. It's always been baseball. That's the sport I'm confident in. I'm not a statistical genius like you fellas. You guys are very sharp with stats and trends, knowing the draft. I just have a good feel for this business, and I know everybody in this business that's worth a darn. You know what I'm saying? So I get a chance to talk to the right people, like Joe Lisi, yourself. You guys are a walking encyclopedia. Joe does a very good job.
Oh, he does. You know, Joe really is a college football encyclopedia. I appreciate the kind words. So we still have a couple of more minutes, but before we get you out of here, tell us about your podcast, because I saw you have some pretty big names, including Randy Cross.
I had Randy Cross the week before. I had John Layfield, Sid Rosenberg the week prior. You know, me and my wife do this little fun podcast during the week called Keeping It Real, and we just say what's on our mind. We have a couple of drinks. We have a couple of guests just having some fun. We, you know, put on costumes once in a while. We're just having some fun throughout this quarantine. But I have a show here in Allentown too, Easton/Allentown. I'm on Sid Sports Sunday when they resume sports. I got my show in Los Angeles that's on hold. So while I'm on hold, I'm just having fun with these podcasts, you know, and we talk a little sports, but it's basically life, what's going on. You know, what the kids did, crazy stuff. And I want you to join me this Wednesday. It's on Facebook Live, but we put it on YouTube. We put it on Stitcher Radio, iTunes, all that neat stuff.
Yeah, I know. We'd love to. That'd be great. We look forward to joining you. And, you know, that's all you can do right now. I see, you know, I follow you on Twitter, and you're a pretty positive Twitter follow right now. You know, it's tough. It's easy to get depressed in these times. Now, listen, you've got a wonderful family and stuff. So that's great. Some people are alone. It's tough for them.
I get it.
These are tougher times, but it's, you know, if you're going to look at the glass half full or half empty, it's better to be more positive in times like this.
Well, you know what? I've been knocked down. I've been knocked down many times in my life. I got back up, back on the horse. You know, I got a good family. We're healthy. Yeah, I'm a little angry. I'm agitated. I want to go, but I get it. You know, I'd rather wait it out, be safe. But let the basic people do what they got to do, you know. Slowly, my kids need a haircut for one. They're looking like little, you know, I don't even know what they look like, the Beatles back in the 60s. They're all hairy.
They're,
you know, and no, thank God my wife knows how to do her own hair and stuff. She just bleached it and was giving out tips because the girls are like, who was doing your hair?
Well, I saw a protest in Pennsylvania. People are like demanding open things up. But I love the irony of people wearing masks at these protests.
Listen, I see some of the people in my neighborhood too. You know who's like worried because they see me come and they cross the street right away. You know,
they're like, there's the guy from New York.
No, you know, but listen, I'm not going out of my way to avoid somebody unless I see it coming and your eyes are bleeding, you're sweating, and you're not looking right. I'm like, this guy doesn't look too healthy. I'm going to walk across the street. But all in all, it's about respecting each other's opinions and feelings. You know, like you said, a lot of people are alone. I have my kids, my wife, my pets. My kids are taking it hard. They miss their friends, you know. That's the tough thing for them. Yeah. They don't mind not going to school, though, I'll tell you that. But it's missing their friends. Baseball, my little guy's a great athlete. I was looking forward to him playing ball. You know, I'm looking forward to getting back in, on Sid's show. And I don't know if I'll be traveling into New York. I think I'm going to do it by phone moving forward, though, for a while. But, no, again, and you guys are great. I mean, when you took over for Craig, you know, I was actually in that studio before they even hired Craig. I was trying to do something with my friend Matt McCarthy. You know Matty.
Yeah, I do know Matt. Yeah. I didn't know you were buddies with Matt. Yeah.
Oh, I grew up with Matty. We're childhood friends. Yeah, we grew up and we started a little show there for a cup of coffee. We couldn't see eye to eye, so he did his rugby show. I did my thing, and then, you know, but yeah, John Layfield, actually, Matt introduced me to John Layfield. You know, this week you're going to be on, then I'm getting Glendon Rush on, pitched with the Mets. You remember Glendon Rush?
Yeah.
He pitched in a World Series against the Yankees. Dwyer Brown from Field of Dreams. Hey, Dad, you want to have a catch?
Oh, yeah.
You know
one thing, and you brought up Craig and Studio 34 across the street from Madison Square Garden. With everything that's going on now, you know, you would hope that he would be, you know, a lot of people are getting released. And he's not a violent criminal, right? So I don't really see what the danger would be, even under house arrest or even if he agreed to go back. Yeah,
I
think
150%. Let him out, man. You know, the guy messed up, but he's a talent.
Yeah, and he's paid his debt. Exactly. Like, you know, he went to jail. He hurt his reputation. He lost his jobs. You know what I mean? Like, he's paid the price. I think the problem is he's just a little too early into the sentence to get out. Like, otherwise,
yeah, you gotta go.
Good.
Yeah, I know a little bit about that system myself. Yeah, he's got to put in some more hours before they consider him, but he'd be on the to-do list. You know,
you've got to believe he's trying. Yeah, I got to believe he's trying. Look, Michael Cohen got out. Trump's guy got out the other day.
Well, you know what? It only takes the right guy to support you. You know that. A little push this way from somebody that might support the right people in politics in New York City.
Let's just be real. It takes a couple of million dollar bond. Like, cut a check. You know what I mean? Cut a check.
You know what? I grew up in that Weehawken area, North Bergen, Hudson County. We called it the armpit of the world. That was the most corrupt county growing up as a kid. And to look at that area and know half of my friends are running it, I'm like, I shake my head. I'm like, how the hell is he the mayor?
Yeah, it's funny you say that. We got to get out of here in about 30 seconds. Funny you say that, because now it's all sort of yuppies walking their dogs and condos. But somebody told me that here, a local. He goes, bro, they've been fighting for 50 years over that land. He's like city, mob, everyone. He's like everyone. He goes, you guys don't know the half of what's going on there.
Dude, that same land, I moved into that area back in the early 70s on River Road before there was a building up there. You a couple of apartments and a hot dog vendor. That was it.
Danny B, great stuff. Danny, thanks for taking the time to be with us.
Oh, man, I appreciate it. I really appreciate what you do. You're a talent. And, you know, you deserve a big show yourself out there, Gabe.
We appreciate the kind words. Thanks, Danny.
Have a good day. Thanks for having me. Bye-bye.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Get on the grid, Sports Grid, Morency Unfiltered, the podcast continues. Thanks to Danny B for kicking it with us on the program. We're going old school right now. Jason Gold steps up and in.
going real old school. Morenci Sports days, of course, The Score, Hardcore Sports Radio, the television network at The Score. Jason Gold was along for the ride, a brief journey along the roller coaster of madness over the years. It's good to catch up with him. Gold, how you been, Jason?
Hey, man, I'm doing pretty good. Staying inside like I'm supposed to. How are you doing, man?
You're staying inside right now. I know it's tough. You're a big hockey fan.
Yeah.
And you had developed quite a hockey following on Twitter as well. Know, posting videos, breaking down the pucks. You're somebody that watch hockey on a daily basis. What's it like without the games for you?
I'm going insane. I'm not going to lie. Not having live sports in general, because over the years, I know when you and I hung out, it was hockey all the time. But
yeah, but you're more of an NBA guy now even too, huh?
Yeah, now I'm NBA, MLB, tennis, you know, like I really like it all. I mean, like soccer and football, not my cup of tea, but the rest of the game, I love it. And yeah, I'm going insane. And I don't think it's very hopeful right now. I mean, the guy I'd be listening to right now is Adam Silver. He doesn't really have any answers for you. He's just posting and just letting you win on all those horse games every week. But yeah, that's I don't think anything's happening anytime soon.
You know, Adam Silver seems to be a little bit he's a little worn out. I think he's tried, and they have a lot of things on the table, but they can hypothetically say, all right, we're going to play in Vegas, and they can put together some hypothetical plan. But he realizes, unlike some politicians, he realizes that they're not there yet. Right.
No,
he basically stated, he said that we're nowhere near even like, he was honest. He said, in theory, yeah, we have some ideas, but we're nowhere near being able to even talk about putting them in place.
Yeah.
And basically he's talking about hundreds of thousands
of
tests. Yeah. Like he doesn't. And he's also talking about how he doesn't control the date of anything. I brought it up earlier. People don't seem to realize what it's going to take to sort of have society somewhat normal and phase back. And it's less than one case per million. So let's say in Montreal, basically what? There's about 3 million people there in Montreal now, right? 3.5, 3 million, whatever, in the area. So that would mean only 3 people get it in the entire city in one day. Like, that's what they need to get down to. You know what I mean? Like, they need to get it down to, like, just 3 people a day getting it in a city of 3 million. So, in New York, there's 11 million people here, okay? So, they need – that means there would have to be only 11 people a day getting the new patients a day. And then that, you can't – you whatever. That would be, like, a normal, amount. You know how many cases there are a day? So, there's 19 million people in the state of New York. There's 5,000 new cases a day still.
Yeah, and 5,000 almost 1,000 deaths per day too over there.
Yeah, yeah. Now the deaths are down to like 400. Ooh, it's still like massive, right? Like,
yeah,
the deaths are coming down. It was like 800 a day for a bunch of days in a row. Unfortunately, now it's in a 400 or 500 range. But I'm just saying, like, that's so far away. Like, that's literal months and months and months and months. And the problem is, I know people are like dying to get out and all that, but the second everybody goes out at once, all this little like isolation that we did in the last like 6 weeks or whatever, or however long it's been, it's all wasted. Like there's going to be
nothing.
A massive second wave. Exactly. Like you really need to break the curve for real for like 3-4 months type of thing.
Yeah, you gotta have a smooth landing, no crash landing.
Yeah. So I don't think hockey can pull it off. Like hockey,
yeah,
like,
I think so.
And there's too many players in hockey. Like basketball, there's 15 guys on a team. All right. It's more manageable. There's 5 guys on the court. You know, you can put it in Vegas. Hockey, man, there's 23 guys on a team. The coach is behind the bench. There's no social distancing on an NHL bench.
No.
Like, you know what I mean? You can't cram all these guys together right now, sweating and all this stuff, unless there's a vaccinate. Like NBA can sort of pull it off, I think. NHL, quite frankly, Gold, I don't think they have the money to do it either. Like, I don't think
they don't have
the money
that's why
to, like, buy all the
right.
tests and everything. You know what I mean?
No, that's why they're scrambling and try to be as delusional as possible, be ignorant as possible, because they can't afford this. They really can't. The leagues that can afford it are I guess, like NFL, NBA maybe. I know Wimbledon can afford it because they had a crazy amount of insurance for it, but NHL, they can't afford this. So that's why they're being delusional. They're being assholes. And
pretty slick
all about
Wimbledon,
the money.
Huh? Pretty slick at Wimbledon for people that don't realize that. It was pretty nice job of what Wimbledon did. Wimbledon pays for insurance of basically disasters if somehow their tournament can't be played. And they thought ahead, and it finally like came to fruition. So all these years they've been paying, and it's never mattered for them.
Since World War II, they've been paying it.
Yeah, they've been paying it forever. Exactly, they've been paying it forever. How long? We'll see if I can get the exact year they've been paying. They basically, from what I understand, it was $3 million. They paid $3 million insurance basically on a yearly basis. Or this year it was a $3 million payment to cover it, but they got $141 million back. So they're getting $141 million. So I'm wondering, Gold, so you're telling me Major League Baseball or the NFL or NBA, none of these idiots ever thought about getting insurance? Like only Wimbledon thought of this?
I guess so. Yeah, it seems like it because it hasn't happened. So I don't know. Wimbledon.
Wimbledon's not in a hurry to have the tournament. Then they're making $141 million anyways.
I'll tell you, the guys who are in a hurry is the higher ranked guys lower ranked guys because those guys aren't making anything right now. So I think the top three dogs, the Federer, Nadal, and Djokovic, they have a relief fund for the lower ranked guys.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, so I think that they're going to be solving it like that.
I tell you one thing. I think tennis should be able to get back. You know what I mean? Like with other sports, quicker than other sports.
Yeah, it's two guys.
Yeah,
two guys.
Like, I know there's still challenges. All right, you've got your judge in the middle. All right, he's 6 feet. He's fine up there. He's in that chair up there anyways. So
maybe
he's
cut the ball boys by a half.
Yeah, you don't need as many. Exactly. Like the players deal with it. Hey, there's one kid on each side only here, right? Yeah. And that's not a problem. The kids aren't close to the players anyways. It'd be better if they wore gloves. Like, I don't know if tennis players can get used to wearing gloves, like a baseball player, sort of like a batting glove. Mm-hmm. It would be better if they wore gloves and weren't touching the ball. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, but the thing is, the players would get tested anyway, so they wouldn't have it. Right. So they'd be in there. And the thing is, there's a lot of players in a tournament, but you almost have to like pare it down. Yeah. You can't. I know it sucks for the lower tier players, but you almost tell them, listen, we can't have like, you're not invited if you're the 2,200 player to play it anymore at the Rogers Cup. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, we can't, mm-hmm. we don't have room. We can't make it that long. It's the top 32 only right now. And hopefully down the road, we can make it the top 64. Now we can get to the top 100 or whatever. Because you just can't put that many people in one space, bro.
No, you can't. But how do those guys get paid? That's the thing.
So what's life in Montreal like right now? I know you said it got hit pretty hard at Côte Saint-Luc. There's a lot of old people in the Côte Saint-Luc part of Montreal.
Yeah,
but what's the city of Montreal
NDG.
Like?
I mean, like, just that whole area of NDG, Côte Saint-Luc, Westmount, Montreal West, it's all hit pretty hard. It's
so in other words, it's wiping out English Montreal.
it is, and it definitely
that's,
is. That's exactly
like that's
how
what it is. Yeah, like
I don't know what it is. I don't know if English Montrealers.
There's going to be none of them
more.
Left after this.
What's that?
There's going to be no English Montrealers left. Like it's
no,
down to
no.
like 25% now. After this, it'll be like 15% or something.
But honestly, most of the casualties right now are coming from the nursing homes.
Yeah, that's sad.
But
like the city itself, like is everything's closed? The grocery stores are open.
Everything's closed except for the groceries, the alcohol, and weed, basically.
Yeah, the dispensary's still open, huh?
Yeah. You go there. I never in my life did I think I'd go to a dispensary. Looking like a dispensary alone, but dispensary looking like a bank robber.
Yeah, and they let you in.
That's crazy. But you show them their ID. Like, what the fuck are they supposed to know? Like, they don't know your face.
I've got I put the mask up myself, and I don't wear the hospital mask, but I pull like a I got like a shirt type thing I make into a scarf over bandana over my face.
Classic.
Yeah, yeah, it's good. I totally look like a bank robber, too. It totally looks like someone just pulling a scarf over their face to go into a store. And I haven't gotten any looks. Like, there's no problem. The only place I went to sort of an upscale wine store, and I freaked them out a little bit when I came in. Like, they did a double and triple take on me. Like, they looked up, and they're like, all right, it's okay. Once I take my hat off, it sort of helps a bit. But it's better safe than sorry right now, right? I mean, they should have told people to wear masks or cover their face a long time ago. Would have helped stop more of the spread.
It's very interesting, though. Like, Canada's very behind with the mask thing right now, I find. They're very hesitant to say that.
So it's not mandatory.
It's not mandatory. It's not even suggested.
Interesting.
It's not even suggested because they're really trying to make sure that there's enough.
That's so full of it, though, right? Like, they're lying to you. Oh, you don't need it. And it's like, oh, well, you really do. We just didn't want you to, like, that's what they did in the States. They were like, no, you really needed it. We just didn't want to tell you that because, you know, the nurses needed them. It's like, yeah, well, people could have made their own. It couldn't have hurt, like, to tell people, right? Like,
exactly.
They're all over the place. But, you know, it's interesting because, yeah, New York, New Jersey, they're not playing around. And obviously, if this is this is like the epicenter of this stuff, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But they're not playing around. Like, there's no, you can't get on a bus now without a mask. You can't go out. Like, you can't be anywhere in public without a mask. Like, you can wear no mask as you walk down the street by yourself type thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the cops aren't going to pull you over. Hey, you're not wearing a mask. But you can, like, not wear one walking down the street. But if you're going into a store, you're getting on a bus, or you're going anywhere, like, it's no mask. They have a sign up, no mask, no service now. Like, that's the new deal. And it's just smart, right? I mean, people say, oh, well, the masks, they're not medical or whatever. Yeah, but it can't hurt. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, for sure. And Quebec is really bad right now, and they're not even suggesting it, which is just, it's absurd.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, these are weird times, Gold. I guess, listen, it's better than the alternative. I mean, we're at least alive to see this craziness, but it's tough. Like, I don't know, you know, we'll see what kind of world we have coming out of this when it's all said and done. Things will get back to normal again. It'll take a couple of years, though.
Oh, yeah, like, for sure.
Three years from now, 4 years from now, people, like, whatever, people will be over this, you know. But the next year and a half without the vaccination, and then when they say year and a half, it means a year and a half. and then they don't even know the vaccination will work. So I'm just stating it's going to be 2 years of phases. But you see, wackos are already starting to protest, right? They want to go out.
Yeah, it's...
Let's just save the Canadians from another... You know, Canadians weren't going to be in the playoffs anyway. So what are you really missing?
Exactly. They weren't missing. But there's a bunch of fucking summer festivals that we're going to be missing, like F1, Jazz Fest, Just for Laughs, you know, I mean, like Oceaga. Those are huge moneymakers for Montreal. So they're not going to have the playoffs, and they're not going to have that. That's a huge hit.
Oh, yeah. If there are certain cities that are hit harder than others financially through the summer. And without a doubt, Vegas is one of them. Like, Las Vegas is just so built on tourism still. Even though Vegas is a real city now, it's still so built on tourism and conventions and gambling and, like, their nightclubs and the hotels and their bottle service where they rip people off and all that type of stuff. It's so built on that, and that's not going to happen. And the other city is Montreal, where it's so cold during the year, guys, for people to, you know what I mean? It's just so cold. It's there. The money is made in the summer in that city, and they make a lot of it. You know, the Montreal Jazz Festival is one of the bigger jazz festivals in the world, and it's like 2.5-3 weeks long. So that's like a monster cash cow for them, and it has been for years. Very popular festival. The Just for Laughs Festival is literally like the trendiest comedy fest in the world. Like, that's where all the deals are done and sitcoms, and it's a who's who of comedy. That's canceled. The fireworks festival is a massive thing. They have like an international fireworks competition where countries from around the world compete. Canceled. The Formula One race, massive. That's the only one in North America. You know what I mean? Like, that's the only one in North America. They went to the States sometimes, but they didn't. Basically, that's the North American F1. Massive. We're talking about, like, not even an exaggeration. You got it up. We're getting into the billions of dollars here, Gold. literally
oh, yeah.
billions.
And you didn't even talk about Oceaga yet. That's
the music festival
right
too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, even the heavy metal festival in Montreal is massive. Loud or heavy? Heavy Montreal is called
Heavy MTL. I think they canceled that last year though. Last 2 years ago was the last.
What, they
one.
Stopped doing it? You mean?
Yeah, they stopped doing it. Yeah. Wasn't making enough money. But Oceaga, that's massive.
I don't know. I don't know. I could have sworn I saw even this year. They were. I think it was back old. No, was I it? Think. Yeah, I think you're what you don't. I think what you don't realize. They rotated gold. It was like sometimes it's heavy Toronto, sometimes it's heavy Montreal.
Really?
Yeah. Like I don't think they canceled it. I think they just didn't have it 1 year in Montreal. And it was in Toronto type thing. Like, sometimes it's in both, or sometimes it's in one or the other. But anyways, I was like, man, Homicide, because I saw the bill. And I was like, man, I got to call these guys and, like, get Homicide on this, even on one of the side stages. You know what I mean? Like, we got a new record. Why not? It's like 72 other bands on it. But, yeah, Montreal's been shut down, but it's good to catch up with you, Gold. Stay safe. Where can people follow you on Twitter?
JGold85, J-A-Y, Gold, like the color, and 85.
Well, we got the NFL draft to bet on. You got the Taiwanese baseball. I'm doing all right with the Taiwanese baseball, actually. I'm 2-0. So we'll try to keep that going.
There's it's all about table tennis.
Table tennis is tough. Table tennis is tough. I'll tell you my one trick for table tennis. Take the over. If you have the option, like over-under, almost every of these table tennis games, they're back and forth all the time. It's true. Rare that it's like 21-7 or something like that. They're usually battles, but we got to get out of here. It's great to catch up with you, Gold. Stay safe.
Yeah, for sure, man. All the best. Take care.
Get on the grid. Morency Unfiltered, the podcast.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.